Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming.
Spoiler alert!
Freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard you scream. Very long time.
Quality of the set was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it. But he's too buff to be real.
Hello and welcome to episode 134 of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an in-studio discussion with the Scare Track team about alcohol. So let's get straight into it. In the studio with me today I have Miss Kate Monroe. Miss Kate Monroe, how's it going?
I'm good, thank you.
It's finally good to record with you, like, not out and about somewhere, that you're actually with us here.
Yeah.
Within these four walls.
In this quotes studio.
I've never had Kate and Hannah on my bed at the same time. It's weird.
I'm glad.
Speaking of, there's my lovely wife. Hannah, how's it going?
It's going really well, thank you.
Awesome. And we have Sean the Boy Wonder back as well. Sean, where you been?
Boy Wonder. I've been out travelling, exploring the world.
Lucky for some. So we thought it would be awesome to get us all on here to have one of our discussion episodes. Guys, if you're new to the show, we have three different types of episodes that we do here on the Scare Track Podcast. We do our on-location reviews when we go to scare attractions and give you on-location audio. We also have our interview episodes where we'll get someone from the scare world and interview them here on the show. And we also have these episodes where we discuss a topic or a theme or anything to do with scare. Scares, mazes, haunted houses, immersive theatre, that kind of thing. So, we tried to get everyone here. Unfortunately, Martin can't make it, but you've got us for today, and we're going to be talking about beer and booze and wine, and Hannah's eyes totally just lit up. So, guys, we put a post on our Instagram page and our Facebook and Twitter, all our social medias, asking yes or no, should we have alcohol at scare attractions. Now, we ran a poll on our story on Instagram and it was 52% yes, 48% no. That's pretty damn close. And over the whole 24 hours, it was going up and down. It's as close as Brexit. That's how close it was on the polls. So I thought what we'll do is we'll get all of the hosts on now to let you guys know what our thoughts are, whether it's right or wrong, or how much you should have, or whether you should get absolutely wasted, or whether it should be a completely dry event, teetotal. And then we'll let you know what you guys thought, our listeners of the show. So first up, Hannah, our resident alcoholic. What are your thoughts? What do you reckon? Like, obviously, you always enjoy having a drink at an attraction. Yes or no for scare attractions having alcohol? How should it be monitored? That sort of thing.
I think it's all very, very much based on the location and the clientele of the scare attraction. So you could, have the scare attraction that you're doing and move it around the UK, and the different places you go to, the different reactions you're going to have to how people respond to scares with alcohol. So I think it's very much dependent on where you're based and what your clientele that you're going after is. But that aside, I don't feel hard done by or upset when I go to a place that doesn't have alcohol, but when they do, I like a beer, so I'm very happy.
That's a good point, actually. So we could argue talking about attractions here. So, for example, I know that Screamfest in Burton, they're a dry site, which totally makes sense because a lot of their clientele are kids. They have quite a younger audience, a family market, as opposed to somewhere like Scare Kingdom, which has alcohol, but only at the end. They do have it at the end of the attraction. You can get a wine or a beer and whatnot. But you never see kids around there or families around there because it's more of an adult market and such. So that's a good point, actually. Good point. Sean, what are your thoughts, buddy? You like a drink at a scare attraction?
Do you know what? I've never actually... I think I've had a drink at a scare attraction, but I've never been drunk at a scare event.
Hang on. I've been to Horror Nights in Europa Park with you.
Yeah.
I mean... yeah, okay. I could take that back. Been drunk at a scare event, but I think we as scare enthusiasts know how to behave.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's saying that we did. Well, I passed out during the ice show with a contact lens in, and nearly died. But that's why I don't wear contact lenses now. but saying that, I love it and I hate it. I'm not sure whether it's a thing in the UK that. It generates a lot of money for events. I don't know whether events do it because of the money side of things. But I do sit very much on the fence. I personally have been in an attraction where assholes have walked through who are drunk and they should just be like kicked
shot
out.
On site. Oh, kicked out. Okay.
Yeah. Pretty- but then again, I do see the fun side of having a couple of drinks, getting like fun, like getting maybe a little bit tipsy. But it always, people just need to understand this isn't a night out. This is an event. Like, this is to have fun. If people just need a drink to have fun, then I don't get it.
Yeah, like, I know what you mean.
I don't get it. Like, my idea of an event that has alcohol would be at the end of the event. Have a themed bar at the end of the event that you can go to, spend all night, go on the dance floor. But at the beginning, I just think it needs to be controlled and monitored. If you're an event that has little security, never serve alcohol. If you're an event like that has quite a lot of security and you're hot on it, then yeah, serve alcohol and make that extra...
Fuck. Okay, that's a good shout. Good shout. And it's weird, isn't it? How, like, unfortunately, it seems that alcohol makes some people act like complete dicks. Whereas you got to think, well, those people are dicks anyway, and the alcohol's just bringing it out. Not being funny, I've been really, really drunk before. I'm not a big drinker, but when I'm really, really drunk, all that's going to happen between me and you is a big cuddle. And that's about it.
And if you want to test this theory, he always lets this monster unleashed on the first night of ScareCon.
I'm just so friendly. My wrists are flapping. I'm hugging everyone. So I just turn into a really nice guy. Hannah just turns into a clumsy person. Kate just turns giggly. Do you know what I mean? And when we've been with you, you just turn sleepy. So it's mad how this for. And we've been with Martin when he's had a drink at events as well. And we're not just...
What happens to Martin?
He just stays the same. but it's mad how there are some people that it brings out the worst side of them, and that's unfortunate. But you got to argue, are those people are idiots anyway? Maybe.
But then it's so unpredictable as to whether they're going to be at your event or not.
Yeah.
Exactly. You never know. Kate, what do you reckon? Alcohol at an event? Yay or nay?
See, I personally don't drink a lot. So it doesn't bother me, but then I also go to attractions with like Hannah, who enjoys it, but I appreciate that she enjoys it. However, the first instances that come into my mind when we're discussing this subject are when I've acted in a maze and had the worst time ever when, and this is somewhere that's a dry site, so it's not, they're not even serving the alcohol, but the group of drunk people who have obviously been pre-drinking, have come through, and I felt scared. I was terrified. It was horrible to the point where I zoomed out the emergency exit and I just waited until they left because it was ridiculous.
Really?
Also, I've been through events as a visitor with groups where other people in the group that I'm not with are drunk, and it has ruined the whole experience for me. So I'm very much with the idea of there being a bar at the end so people still can enjoy a drink, still can have that kind of night. But I also think yes, some of these places aren't even letting people drink until afterwards, but they're still allowing drunk people in. And I think if there's the slightest sign of anything like that, the actors, unless it's somewhere like Europa Park, like where it's drinking all night, I don't know if their actors are specifically trained for those occasions and what to do should a group of drunk people come round.
I think it's because the the Germans can drink more.
Yeah.
You say that, though. You say that, but when I did this poll on Instagram, we have quite a good German following, I think, because we do go to Europa Park, and we have a following from people from the Netherlands because we go to Amsterdam Dungeons and whatnot every few years. The guys from Germany both put no to alcohol, and they were people that work at European theme parks.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite interesting, because I mean, I know we're just talking about Europa Park in general and not talking about Germany and as a whole, but alcohol was quite a prominent thing.
Well, they have shop girls. There's bars everywhere. It's more expensive to have a Coke than it is to have a beer.
A shot,
absolutely. And I mean, don't get me wrong. The shots they're not giving mass quantities of alcohol. They can monitor, like, it's apple sours, it's not going to get you absolutely paralyzed. Well, maybe me. So they can monitor it,
they have rum and Jaeger in those shots as well. Just never order them because you don't like them.
Good point.
But then on another note, and looking at that in a different way, could it be a fact that because it is allowed and it's not a taboo thing to be there drunk because they're allowing it, is it either a case of people are therefore not trying to be rebellious and therefore behave a bit more, or is it a case of the security are fully aware that there's going to be drunk people on site and can spot them a mile off before they ruin anything for anyone?
That's a good
point. Is it because of these other attractions where they don't allow drinking and not prepared for that situation, so you do find the pre-drinkers getting away with it or sneaking some in, whereas
that's a very good point,
on a site where they're fully prepared for it because they know people are drinking since opening, they're on it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a very good point.
I think they're on it because they have security.
Yeah, I think the difference is with sort of Europa Park and the German parks, where it's accepted and it's allowed, you do pay premium prices to have spirits.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, a beer is dirt cheap. It's about €3. It's about, what's that, £2.90 now?
Well, yeah.
For a beer, which, you know, is quite standard with English rates. But then if you wanted to have a vodka,
it's
like 8 or 9 euros, so it's about £8 or £9. So if you said to someone in the UK £10 for a vodka Coke, they wouldn't buy it and they wouldn't accept it. So maybe it's that premiumization of spirits that is what the UK needs, because you can walk into Scare Attractions and buy a spirit in a mixer for about £4.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know what you mean. So price may have something to do with it as well. It's a bit of a difficult one for me, because I'm usually the designated driver, excuse me, and I'm not a big drinker. Don't get me wrong, if you meet me only at ScareCon, you'll think otherwise. But if I'm going to have a drink, I will have a good drink. But if someone said, Mikey, don't touch alcohol for 6 months, I go, easy, okay, I won't, and I won't. But when I go to events, obviously I'm a designated driver, so I don't drink. Hannah does drink, but she never gets, unless we're going, we're going to have quite a few tonight and really enjoy it. Like Europa Park, you go to the Vampire Club afterwards, so it's more of a clubby kind of atmosphere. If we were staying over at Tully's even, maybe, usually we drive back, but because it is more like a festival and they have bands playing, that it would feel weird to not have alcohol served at a place like that. Although they do monitor it and only have it in designated areas, that does work. But for me, my wife is someone who can drink 6 pints and not turn into an absolute cockwomble, then I see no issue with it. The problem is, I could go with someone else, see them only have 3 pints and turn into an absolute drunken idiot. So it's a difficult one. There's obviously a few different ways of doing alcohol that we've seen going to plenty of events. So there's a place that's just a completely dry site, no alcohol whatsoever. There's places that have a bar throughout the night and only let you have 2 drinks because they have to stamp your, basically, your maze voucher, and you only have 2 chances to do that. But then you could always argue, well, if there's a group of 5 people and there's two designated drivers, the other people could have double the amount of drinks. So although it works, it it's not people foolproof.
If people want to find a way around that kind of
they'll
thing,
they'll find
they
a way, definitely. And then you have events that only let you in the bar at the end of the night, like Scare Kingdom, like Dr. Frights. That works really well as well. So there's lots of different ways.
Sorry, I will say, because I've been on the receiving end. That's not the right word. I've been on both ends. So having been an attraction owner at a pub where they let alcohol, like drunk people in, they totally ruined my attraction. And I could cry. Like, I had tears welling up in my eyes because of they totally destroyed one scene where there were like hanging dead heads. And it was awful because they were literally, they pulled the heads down and they were throwing them around. And I just, I could have fucking strangled them, but I was so angry that they were let through, but it was out of my control. And so for a long time, I was very against alcohol infused people going through an attraction. However, it is down to the person, because some people can take it, some people can't. But I agree with you there.
Because, like I said, I mean, I very, very rarely drink at a scare attraction. I just don't. But the only time I do is at Europa Park, because I'm usually there. Most scare attractions I go to, like scare parks and farm parks, I go for one night. Whereas at Europa, or when we went to Halloween Horror Nights at Orlando, I'm there for three nights or four nights. So I might have a sober night. I might have a night where I'm going to have a good drink. But throughout that time, I've never once thought, let's smash shit up, let's get aggressive, let's argue, let's touch the actors. And granted, I just think that's because I'm a good person. People might go, well, that's just because you're a scare enthusiast, of course you're not going to ruin it. Well, no, I'm pretty certain I've seen my mom drunk as an absolute fart at our wedding. She was falling over, she was so drunk, she fell off a chair. But if she was to walk through a scare attraction, never in her wildest dreams would she think, let's punch an actor, let's touch the set, let's do this. So unfortunately, although we do blame it on alcohol, people are just dicks anyway. We've had people go through our attraction and pull shit down who aren't drunk. So I think it's one of those things that it just builds onto it. It just makes them worse. So, you know, it's all down to the person. I hate it when people blame stuff on alcohol. And don't get me wrong, there's certain things, I think, if you are in such a drunken state where you can go, God, that was the alcohol talking. But very rarely do people get to that state, whereas I think sometimes they use it as an excuse that basically, yeah, I ripped the place apart, but it's because I was pissed, wasn't it? No, it's because you're an absolute dick, mate. That's why. So anyway, let's sort of start wrapping this up with the listener feedback we have on this. That's why we've basically done an episode, really. I just put it up as some content on our Instagram, thought it'd be cool to see a poll on who thinks this, and we had loads and loads of people contact us. So first up, we had Dennis van Brooklyn. I can never say it properly. From the Netherlands. He works with Scare Me and he runs the Scare Manager website. We asked a yes or no for alcohol at a scare attraction. He put yes, but only responsibly. Overdrinking gives a lot of problems, and due to drugs and alcohol, some events have temporary police offices on site in the Netherlands. So we're always thinking, stupid British public, but it's not. It is worldwide. I know that Halloween Horror Nights have a very big issue in Orlando with drunks. I think that the Hollywood site is a dry site. It's mad how it's the same event, two different theme parks.
Well, you can say that about Disney.
You can, yeah, true. Disney's similar. Like, you know, in Paris, it was quite easy to find a place to get a drink.
No, it was not.
In Paris?
Yeah. I had to order food.
Oh, you have to order food, sorry.
I had to be sitting down with a meal.
Oh, but you could argue that
I put on like 5 stone.
But in Epcot, is what you're saying over... Yeah. Epcot compared to Magic Kingdom.
You said Disneyland was easy.
My bad.
It wasn't.
All right.
Epcot was the easiest.
All right, calm down. Have you had a drink?
Yeah, I have.
Kate, do you want to give the next one for us?
So Mark Lofthouse, who we interviewed not too long ago, said, yes, as long as it's moderated, plenty goes into it. It all depends on audience and clientele. Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando even have shot girls. For him, it depends on what the target demographics... mentally towards alcohol is. If it's a binge drinking mentality, alcohol should be used cautiously, whereas if alcohol is seen by the clientele as a means of a fun time, then it's fine.
That's a good point, actually, because there will be some places, again, it can be location, based on location, that if they did open it up at Screamfest and they had just a few people who had just turned 18, they'll think, drink, 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 drink. But elsewhere, they could go, it's nice to have a wine in this queue line. You just like to have a beer. You're Hannah.
Well, I think that's why, you know, I really liked it when we went to Frightmare, because they had a Prosecco bar.
Yeah.
And you don't really see that, and kids aren't going to go like, yeah, let's get hammered on Prosecco, because it's not what it's for. But I think that's why I liked that.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Definitely.
It's all about knowing your audience, isn't it? And
yeah, 100%. Hannah, do you want to give the next one?
Okay, so Christina Compagni, apologies if I've pronounced that wrong, is an actress from Not Scary Farm. And she says, honestly, that's a hard question because as a scare actor, I hate the people who are drunk. Some of them are fun to mess with, but some of them are just too much and want to touch me and get aggressive. As a guest, having a drink can be fun. So my honest opinion is limit the drinks to 2 drinks per person for the night. But it's also a huge profit for events. It's a really complicated situation and a great question.
Well, thanks. It is a great question. I'm glad I thought of it. No, thank you, Christina. What I find awesome is that in our first 3 questions, we've had someone from the Netherlands, someone from England, and someone from the United States of America. That's pretty cool, isn't it? We're getting out there, guys. We are getting out there. Is that who you are there? I just think it's
pretty
cool.
Back to my question, I mean, her answer.
So,
she thinks that's a really good idea. Limit the drinks at the beginning. Maybe give out a wristband that has a tear-off thing and say, listen, you can have 2 drinks to begin with and then you can drink all you want after the event.
That's a good idea.
But also, I feel like they need their security on it for pre-drinkers because I fear that those are probably the ones that cause more issues than the ones who have already got drunk before they've come out and then that one drink can take them over the edge.
Well,
so,
I mean, for me, most most scare attractions have security.
Yeah.
Security are SIA badge registered.
Mm.
That means they adhere to the law that you don't let drunk people into a venue. So why is it not the same if it's a field?
Good point. Mm-hmm. We went to an attraction last year, I won't name it, but they were literally letting people get hammered in their bar and it caused nothing but issues all night.
Well, that's the thing is, I won't say where it was that I was acting, but the group that come around that scared me, we had a warning that they were coming through. And to me, that should just be people that shouldn't be allowed in.
Yeah, simple as. Why did you get a warning? When I know. You should be just, no, you're not coming in. Simple as. We have Meg Howe, who's a actress at York Maze Hollow Scream. She says, from an actor's point, drinking at scare events can be really dangerous for actors. Obviously, when people drink, they can become violent and feel they have more courage than usual and therefore threaten actors. After being on the receiving end of threats and abuse on drunk people, I can understand how it's so awful for people to drink. Although a lot of people can be scared much easier because of the effects of alcohol, making the actor's job a lot easier. But it does not weigh out the abuse that some actors get from drunk punters. Mm. Very good point. It's sometimes fun to scare a drunk person. You know, I do it to Hannah all the time at home.
Excuse me.
Anyway.
What? You scare me.
Okay, right. Hannah scares me all the time.
No, I scare you at home. What you do is when I'm putting my washing away, take it out the wardrobe while I'm not looking.
Hannah didn't realise, we put a wet, I did all the washing and put it on the bed and Hannah was putting it all back in the wardrobe. She was like, there's so much washing. And there was quite a lot because, I got behind. But every time she put a garment in the wardrobe, I managed to sneak one out and put it back on the bed. It happened 5 times. She was so angry. It was good though.
But you've never scared me.
We'll see.
That's what you do.
All right. Moving on. So, actually, speaking about pre-drinkers and how that is such an issue, Erin has a good point here. She's from the 13th floor in Denver, in America. Kate, take it away.
So, she says, we have been in business for 17 years. This past season was our first year we opened a bar on property. It was a Dr. Frankenstein's laboratory theme and we actually saw less damage and fights this season compared to past seasons. We believe this is because patrons would partake in our drink sales rather than pre-drinking and be drunk on arrival. With a bar on site, we were able to regulate the percentage of alcohol served, which made for higher sales and a more pleasant crowd. And I think that relates to what I was saying, and what 100%. Hannah was saying in regards to things like Europa, where because it's actively encouraged. There's not a taboo about it. Mm. They'll go there, they know they can get a drink, so they'll wait till they get there, but then the bar has a level of control.
Definitely, yeah. So it's weird. So those guys in Denver, 17 years, they've been a dry event and they found loads of issues of alcohol.
Yeah.
The 1 year they have alcohol and there's no like issues. But in complete contrast to that, Dan Thorpe, a member of our Patreon, he actually works at an event that has a bar there throughout the whole night. The first year we saw it there, you could just get any drinks as much as you wanted. And then the second year we went there, it was a two-stamp system, so you could only get two drinks. So, and he feels completely different. So, Hannah, take it away.
Yeah, so Dan says, not at all. The abuse and aggression I've received as an actor was almost all the time by drunken customers. The problem is people drink for Dutch courage, but pair that with adrenaline, this courage turns to a will to challenge and fight. I've seen it far too many times. Some reactions are by chance, but when they come for you three times over and are laughing while at it, they aren't trying to be funny, rather trying to intimidate actors for their own thrill.
So there you go. So it's a similar kind of system. I mean, I don't know if they limit the drinks over at the 13th floor, but it seems like a similar thing to what Erin was saying.
Yeah,
the fact that they have a bar open all night, these guys have a bar open all night. She said they found less issues. Dan's saying that he finds more issues with there being a bar. Whether or not the clientele in that area decide, they do seem quite a younger market again. So they might be pre-drinking and then buying alcohol. That could cause an issue. Weirdly.
Well, new bar at Extreme Screen Park, where Dan works as an actor predominantly, they've only just introduced a bar, really, in the last
sort of 2 years, I think.
2 years. And then last year they had a two-drink maximum.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether that's... He's seen a change with that. That might be something we need to explore with Dan, whether he's seen a change from the first year where you could drink whatever you wanted... The second year,
I actually did discuss this with Dan on our social media, and he said he didn't really see much of a difference.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
he said if people want to get drunk, they'll get drunk.
So I think this is more of an issue, not necessarily with whether there's a bar or not, but it's how they keep their eye out for drunk people. I think they need hosts if they're going to allow it, whether they allow it or not because of the pre-drinking. It's making sure hosts at the front are aware and know whether to let people in or not, that security are fully on it, because being an actor and knowing that you've got drunk people coming around is one of the most terrifying things in the world, especially being a female actor. So yeah, I think maybe this issue goes further than whether to drink or not. It's about other parts of it and security and just training your staff, whether they're at the front of the attraction, whether they're actors, whether they're just walk around people keeping an eye on everyone.
Definitely.
And that's probably more the issue than anything else, because the thing is as we were saying, drunk people, you get nice drunks or you get horrible drunks.
Yeah,
and, simple as.
But you have no predictability of what's going to turn up to your event, and
true.
People just need to be fully aware of it more.
Definitely, yeah. It's the infrastructure of an event, isn't it? Like a place can have amazing scares, amazing sets, amazing everything, amazing actors, but it's the infrastructure of the whole event around. If you're going to serve alcohol or however many people you're letting in, are you going to do bag checks? We've felt a lot safer at Europa the last couple of years since there's been bag checks and searches. Lots of people don't like that. I prefer that. It makes me feel like I'm in a safe little bubble.
Definitely.
So Noah Coaster, I don't think that's his real second name, I think that's his Instagram name, he said, for a 13-year-old Screen Park fan, it doesn't make a difference to me. But out of all the parks I've been to, the only one I've seen drunk people in is Extreme Scream. So again, he's a 13-year-old Screen Park fan. That might argue that he's going there and there's a lot of other people his age, maybe only a little bit older. I know there's a few 16-year-old, if you could get a bottle of White Lightning and drink it before you could go there, maybe that's the issue there. I'm not too sure. Definitely. Kate, do you want to go with the next one?
So Alan Higginson, another member of the Scare Track Patreon group. Hi, Alan. Alan, did I say Alison or Alan? I don't know.
You said Alan.
Alan! Alan!
said, don't mind either way, to be honest. I was shocked how extensive,
I'm sure it was expensive.
The bar area at Tully's was, though.
You got a good point, actually. They put a lot of effort into the bar over the last few years, haven't they? Like, you can't get it anywhere, but it's in a certain area. They've got a proper big bar that serves absolutely everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, but again, with the alcohol there, you have to keep it in that area. They don't let you take it out.
It has to be in the bar, and you have to have ID to go in. It doesn't matter your age, 25, 30, you have to show ID.
Great. That's a good idea, yeah. Definitely.
And I feel like if they're being that strict on things like that, they're going to be on it for when there's people drinking against the rules with what they bring in their bags or pre-drinking. Yeah. They're going to be, if they're strict over their bar, they're going to be on it with their security elsewhere and
definitely.
Sideways.
And that's what Tully's genuinely really is. Tully's is... don't get me wrong, their mazes are great and long and scary, but they're not going to be the mazes that blow you completely away. They're great for a family evening or a friend's evening, but what Tullys are probably one of the best in the UK for. It's a machine. It genuinely is a machine. Once you accidentally left a can of beer in your handbag they confiscated it, quite rightly so, because you shouldn't be taking the stuff in.
Oh, God, yeah.
You forgot it was still in there.
It was one of my car beers.
Car beers.
I didn't realise that it was in my bag.
But yeah, definitely, they really are a machine, definitely. Hannah, do you want to take the next one?
Alex from the Thorskin podcast.
That's how you say it, Thorskin. Yeah. Friend of the show.
Right.
I just wanted you to say Thorskin.
So Alex got in touch and said, alcohol has always made for for interesting experiences at the scare park I work at. Nothing wrong with having a drink, but getting effed up is not advised as it ruins everyone's night.
Which is a good point, yeah. If you drink, have a drink, that's great, but if you get really fucked up, it's not good.
Yeah.
Definitely. So cheers to that for Alex. And guys, if you want to listen to some awesome stuff, check out the Thorskin podcast.
Check out the what podcast?
The Thorskin. It's Thor, as in Thor with his hammer, but skin. So it's a play on words. Very smart. Next up, Damien Higginbotham got in touch saying, the way Dr. Frights do it is a good way, as you're not allowed to enter the bar until you have actually been around the whole event. So yes, it can be a good thing, as it's always good to end the night on. So yeah, we mentioned that earlier. It's a good shout. It's a good shout, basically, to have it at the end of the night. Definitely. And we've got our last one here from Ems. Ems was our first Patreon supporter. So Ems, thank you very, very much for joining us on Patreon. Kate, do you want to take away the last one? It's a nice long one for you.
So Em says, as an actor, it does concern me that people can go through events sometimes in absolute states. At certain events I've worked at, people have managed to sneak drink into the mazes and soak both themselves and actors in alcohol due to poor security and host presence. Not pleasant for everyone involved. Worse when they are screeching at you for spilling their drink and you have to take the time to dry up the mess so people don't fall over. I think a stamp system, whilst still going around the mazes, may work. Then once people have experienced all mazes, they can drink. Although that only works at sites that allow you to enter each attraction only once.
That's a good point, actually. It's a good system, but there's some events that you are only allowed to go through the attractions once, like Screamfest, Tullys, Towers, most places. But then there are the ones like Thorpe Park Fright Nights, Europa Park, Halloween Horror Nights, that you can go through multiple times, so it wouldn't work in that way. But again, she's saying that someone managed to sneak their drink into a maze. That's just, I mean, why?
And this is also what she points out there is exactly what I've been saying in regards to it's usually down to poor security and host presence. Like, when we're dealing with these kind of things, you need to have that infrastructure in place of knowing how to react and how to deal with those things as an actor, as a host, as a security.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I think that wraps up this episode, guys.
You're listening to Scaretrack.
So then, guys, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Scaretrack podcast. A huge thank you to you guys at home for sending in your views on having alcohol at a scare event. We really, really do appreciate the feedback on our social media. Just search for Scaretrack Instagram. Scaretrack on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat. Thank you, Sean, for joining us.
Woo, thank you for having me.
It's been awesome. Thank you, Kate, for joining us in the studio.
Thanks.
And Hannah, cheers.
It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. We'll see you on the next episode. See you later, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.